everyone. Thank you for joining us for another great edition of Talking Tigs. I am Scott Gerard. Joining me tonight, as always, is Tommy Johnson, but that's where it ends. We will not have Daniel tonight. He's actually on the 15-day unable to record list. He's fine. He's not injured anything, folks. He's just on his honeymoon. So we wish him well on that. But hopefully Tommy and I can hold it down and deliver all the news for you this week. And there's quite a few things to get into. But first, just want to check in with you, Tommy. I actually got to see you live and in person right there. Well, not quite in Baton Rouge, but it wasn't far away. But it was great to see you and Daniel and both of your family and friends. Had a great trip all around. Great weather too. Couldn't have asked for better weather, man. But
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I saw you 3 days ago because I did. But how the heck are you,
man? Good. Good to be with you. Yeah, it was great seeing you. Real successful weekend. It felt like everything went well. You know, good wedding and well, successful weekend for us, but not as successful weekend for the Tigers. But yeah, great seeing you just an exciting all around weekend.
It was, and I was trying to avoid the inevitable, but I mean, we will have to talk about why it wasn't such a great weekend for LSU, at least baseball wise. Yeah, I mean, just being at the wedding, you kind of, were distracted from the fact that the Tigers were going to go down 0-2 to Auburn, which is just crazy to think about.
Yeah.
But anyway, first things first, man, like after we last recorded, there was a national championship game played. I know your Blue Devils weren't in it, but Daniel, I believe, picked the Gators and they won.
Mm-hmm.
And they took the crown, which I don't know who really picked them at the beginning of the season. I guess the diehard fans. I haven't seen any social media posts of people that got like a national championship tattoo in October. But I'm sure some will say that they totally knew the Gators were going to win it, but I didn't even know that they were, you know, going to be that team this year. I mean, it did come down to the wire, right? Like it was a really close game with them in Houston. I mean, we got to talk about the final play, of course, or at least the final 15 seconds or whatever, but overall great game. And I guess congrats to the Gators, you know.
No, definitely.
Congrats. They won it fair and square.
No, you're right. I mean, definitely a good game. Like you said, came down to the wire. I mean, disappointing. I was rooting for Houston, and I mean, they had a shot to win it, but good for Florida. And Florida was really impressive because, like you said, early in the season. I mean, I think they were, you know, good the whole season, but not elite. And then kind of towards the end is when they got really hot. They beat Auburn in the SEC championship, then beat them again in the tournament. And you know, went on to win it all. So congratulations to them. March Madness continues to not disappoint. And even though it wasn't LSU playing in the tournament, it's still an exciting tournament to watch.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe we'll be there next year, at least, you know, win a game or two. I think that would be a win like a program win if they did. Remains to be seen, of course, but, you know, there's still time to add other players. I think Matt McMahon did a pretty good job of taking in from the portal. I mean, he lost some too, but I don't know that it's not like we lost, a Tremont Waters or somebody like that, where you're like, oh man, that was the guy that was the heart and soul of the team. I don't feel like we had that. I don't know that maybe Tremont Waters was the last one time we did have something like that. We'll see. But like you said, they weren't really world beaters when they started the season, but they kind of put it together towards the end. I did want to say it was just crazy because it was pretty neck and neck the whole game. And it probably could have gone into overtime or maybe Houston could have won it on the last play. But, man, those final seconds, they didn't know what to do with themselves. It seemed like they had a specific play ran, but it didn't go quite according to that plan. And one of the players, you could tell was about to catch himself in a walk, so he couldn't handle the ball, and then
he just kind of jumped up and down.
Yeah, he killed those final few seconds, but it reminded me of Chris Webber in the Final Four, where he called a timeout. Yes. Where you thought, oh, okay, could they tie it? Could they win it? No, they're just going to hand it over, actually.
Yeah, that's technical.
And I was watching the Houston coach, man. Just the guy looked like he just woke up out of a coma, like, what just happened?
Yes.
Did I really just witness this? We came all this way, and we just lost it from that? Got a feel for him.
No, you do. And I mean, I don't know. They were scrappy, resilient. I loved watching their defense. They were fun to watch. So I really wanted them to win. Unfortunately, they couldn't get it done.
Mm-mm. No, and that pretty much encapsulates what I was going to crescendo into the LSU baseball weekend. So that's a great way to put it. They couldn't get it done. Not only could the Tigers not sweep, they couldn't even win the series. They couldn't even win one game. They could not get it done. They got swept themselves, which you just said that at the beginning of the, earlier in the week, I probably would have laughed and said, no way.
I know I was thinking, wait, no, you got that reversed. LSU's going to sweep Auburn. Like, I thought we were on sweep alert for them.
No, I guess not. And it just kind of goes back to, I guess, the analogy with the Gators and their basketball team. Yeah, maybe they didn't look like they could do it early in the season, but they put it together towards the end. I think that's what LSU is going to have to do, because earlier in the year I was thinking, yeah, Tennessee looks good, Auburn looks good, they're ranked, Georgia looks good, but let's wait and see what happens when they start to hit the thick of the SEC schedule. I think they're going to get exposed. Unfortunately, that's happening to us. Yep. I mean, granted, it was on the road against a top 10 team, same as Texas. But at least at Texas, we played that first game like we were the much better
Alphas.
Team. Yeah. Yeah, and then it just kind of slowly slipped away. And then game three, we looked like we were the midweek game. This weekend, though, against Auburn, LSU looked like the midweek game the whole way through. It's like what we scored. Four runs, some of them late, two runs in game two, and then two runs in game three, which I believe both came in the eighth inning, which I don't know what, man. It's just honestly, LSU's pitching wasn't bad. I mean, we didn't get the same performance against Cade Anderson where he went the complete game and only had a five-hit shutout. Different team. I was not expecting that, but I did not expect LSU to just not muster up any sort of offense. I mean, they had opportunities. They just didn't capitalize on them. I think that's our thing, is we are good at small ball at times when we're on. We'll probably score 15 runs in this midweek game on Tuesday, and I guess we solved our issues. But no, you got to do it against the big boys, against the SEC on the weekends. And we haven't done that for two weekends now. The sweep against Oklahoma on the road was great, but I don't know. It's like I feel like instead of other teams getting exposed, we are.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think the only thing that maybe you take as a consolation is with the strength of our schedule and the wins we've already booked. I mean, we talked about it last week. We're already at 30 wins, right? We're already probably in a regional, hosting a regional.
Mm-hmm. If like things hosting continue, a regional?
I think so. Like if things continue on, I mean, let's say this Auburn sweep is just a fluke, and we continue on. I think we're still in a decent spot. Obviously, like that was a very, very disappointing showing, but. And I mean, I don't think we don't even really need to get into, you don't have to get into stats, because it was just all around disappointing. Like there wasn't one thing that just stuck out to me, but, I think the good news is with how tough the SEC is. And I mean, like you said, it's a top 10 team on the road. If they continue to play as good as they've played most of the time, aside from this past weekend, we should be fine.
Should be. I think the law of averages are on our side. Like, yes. Yeah, we're not going to lose three straight, you know, even in a regional or super regional on the road, because if we don't at least, I'd say, win the rest of our weekend series at least 2-1, then, yeah, Tigers might be lucky enough to host a regional, but on super regional, we'll probably have to go on the road. And I guess that's what scares me, is Tigers being able to put together at least two complete games on the road, because against lesser opponents, we've been okay. But against, like, teams that actually could compete, you know, we've fallen short. And it just – I don't know what you'd call it. Not, maybe not karma, but just – I don't know. It says something that the – like Auburn's Friday night starter, who did so well against us, was one of our pitchers before.
Yeah, you know, Sam Dutton.
Yeah, and it's like there's that. Then I think back to the Texas game, and it's like their Sunday starter, which was a rubber match for us. We could have won it. Started his first game in his career, and he shut us down for 5 2/3 innings or whatever it was. And Dutton shut us down for the most part too. And I was like, why are all these guys that have never really done anything before making their, you know, career type games against us? It's like, that's the part that makes me feel like we're getting exposed, because our offense, our batters, they just look befuddled the whole weekend against Auburn, kind of like they did those last two games against Texas. So I guess that's my thing, is we're good at small ball. We're better, I should say, at small ball this year. You know, we can get some guys on base. We can take balls well. We can obviously get hit by the pitchers well. We're still doing that every game. But when guys are on base, you got to deliver, and we haven't been recently. So it's concerning. I don't know. I think other teams, you know, they just maybe have more senior guys. We've had a lot of transfers, a lot of freshmen, and we're just – I don't know. I think we kind of lack the firepower we've had before, you know? I mean, we do have Bear Jones, but he, you know, he didn't really come up big this weekend when we needed him to. I feel like a Tommy White would have, or a Dylan Cruz would have, you know? We're lacking maybe the same firepower. Again, unless it's like this Florida basketball team, it's coming together and we just haven't seen it yet. I don't know.
Well, now you got to go on Sunday.
I did. I got to check out the game in person.
Yep.
With a nice ballpark, very small. It's very concentrated campus. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to say. There was plenty of LSU fans there. I'd say maybe a third, you know, at least 30% were LSU fans. So we definitely had some voices there. I saw plenty of purple and gold and white and gold in the audience. Yeah. And there, it's like their park wasn't that big, I don't think. I think the closest – I mean, Milam hit a home run, I think, in game two. But it's like we didn't really do anything on a park that was like an open door for it. Like straightaway center field was only 385. And the closest, I think, was Dickinson hit one off the wall that I saw. I don't know. It's just interesting. They our offense was befuddled with their pitching, which – I didn't really think was that great to be, you know, coming into this game. Maybe they are, but all around nice ballpark. They definitely have the nets up along the first and third base lines, so you're not really going to get anything unless it's popped up over and reaches you that way. But on the Green Monster, it's cool. They have a nice big terrace you can walk up. It's standing room only. I mean, they have limited seating. They announced at the game that this was the highest attended weekend series in their program's history.
Oh gosh. Well,
yeah,
that's kind of embarrassing.
It is. I mean, we contributed to that because we apparently travel well, but 19,000, I mean, if LSU sold out one game, that would be 14,000. So just goes to show you, they're kind of new to this baseball thing, but
yeah,
kind of like Tennessee. Well, if your team's good, yeah, we'll show up and support. Sure.
Yeah.
So it was a full crowd, but yeah, man, Tigers just couldn't muster anything. It was, I don't know what the issue was, but all in all, I guess a nice park, definitely room to grow there. I mean, they had don't really have any much room behind the stadium because there's like an electrical grid, you know, transformers, things like that. And then there's, it looked like a like student housing behind the right field. It was back like 100 yards or so. But how cool would that be? You just open up your blinds and you can watch the game.
No, that is and cool.
Study. And study too, of course. But yeah, it was pretty easy to get in. And I mean, I wasn't there right for opening pitch, but found parking, walked up a few minutes, wasn't far, walked back out, and it's right next to Jordan Hare. Like I feel, remember the fire that happened at Jordan Hare many, many, many years, or maybe you heard about it.
There was I heard about it. I don't remember it.
Yeah, that's right. You were sorry. God, you were probably. This would have been 97, 98. Anyway.
I was like 2 years old.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So you don't remember it. Fair enough. All right. You're off the hook, Tommy. But like the back of the baseball stadium is where I think that fire occurred. Now there's just a parking deck. Anyway, just for old story reference sake. But yeah, I don't know. I didn't feel like it was that intimidating an environment. I think LSU was just
off.
Yeah. But I mean, got a chance. It's a new week. Like you said, there's still plenty of time. We have a few more series. We have a midweek game, obviously. And then I believe host Alabama this upcoming weekend. And then, I know we host Tennessee. We're going to have to travel to Texas A&M, which I'd say a few weeks ago, I was thinking, okay, good. But now I don't know, man, they've kind of turned things around, so they could be they could ruin somebody's season if they wanted to. And I know we finish up with Arkansas at home. So with Tennessee and Arkansas, if we could at least just win one or both of those series, as well as win the other series, I think we are in pretty good position to, like you said, secure one of those top eight seeds. I mean, it could also depend what we do in the SEC tournament, which is a week after Arkansas finishes the game with Arkansas finishes up. But yeah, man, when I thought Tigers were probably going to host a super regional, now I'm thinking we've got to hit a different gear if we're going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the super, you know, we got to kind of go on let's lock in, buckle down, go on a run, but. Mm-hmm. But maybe, you know, maybe this is, I don't want to be like dramatic, but maybe this is what this team needed. This is a real low. Let's light a fire underneath them and get it going.
Yeah. I'd say the only other lowest point was losing those two straight to Texas in Austin. But yeah, like LSU just doesn't get swept on the road at Auburn. Like, when's the last time that's ever happened? I couldn't tell you. I'd have to look in the books. But I don't know, man. I think the fact that we've scored, what, 8 total runs, 2 each in the last 2 games, that's one thing. It's okay if you have your pitcher, like I said, throwing a complete game shutout with only 5 hits. Then you can get by with 2 hits and 2 runs here and there, which is what we did versus, I believe, Oklahoma that first game. But that pitching's got to be there. You know, they kind of got to Cade for a little bit. I don't know. I would say somebody's got to step up as far as bat. I was kind of hoping that at some point in the third game, knowing we were already down 2-0, Jay would have kind of mixed up the lineup, but he didn't. We already know he's the one with the national championship. He's the one with the history coaching college baseball. But, I mean, I don't know. I just didn't really see anything like that that they did differently. I'm wondering if that would have been if that would have changed anything. He knows better, but I don't know. If your guys aren't doing it, maybe throw in a John Pearson. Maybe throw in somebody else just to see if something happens. I don't know, because, like I said, it feels like we got figured out. Anyway, I don't want to beat that horse too much. Did you have any other final thoughts?
I mean, I would just say it's a new week. Let's go get after it. You know, this week we've got, mm-hmm. Who is it? Who is it this week? McNeese.
McNeese. Okay.
Yeah. So it's McNeese, and then, like you said, a three-game series against Alabama starting on Thursday. We've had good luck with the series that starts on Thursday, so you know, can't complain there. And again, this is a top 25 team in Alabama, which typically Alabama's kind of a poor baseball team. So get back on track. I think we need a sweep. Let's go get it.
Yeah, amen. Speaking of like sweeps and streaks and things like that, there's one game that stuck out. I mean, it was D3, but the headline caught my eye because there was this one program. Well, it was actually two programs, probably two of the worst in D3. One was, I guess it's Lehman University or college against Yeshiva. Both of them were riding horrible losing streaks. Lehman had, I think, a 44-game losing streak. Yeshiva, they were up to 100, and they had a three-game series against each other. So, you know, something had to give. Lehman won theirs first, and then Yeshiva broke a 100-game losing streak. Just goes to show, could always be worse, but, I mean, this is what I was going to say, is it kind of goes back to just the law of averages where, yeah, we lost three against Auburn, but, I mean, the last time we lost a series to Texas, we reeled off what, how many wins in a row? Like 12 or so?
Yeah.
It's like we swept the next two series and won the midweek games. So maybe that's what could happen again. It's possible. Like you said, maybe it'll wake these guys up. But I think it's just it's something happens with this offense. I don't know if it's like a Billy Beane, like the baseball numerology theory where just – every so often, yeah, you're going to hit these low points, but more times than not, you're going to score more runs than the other guy. Money game, that's what it was. Or Moneyball. I think just with the Tigers, just with the types of hitters they have, eventually, yeah, we're going to probably score – because what was it? Like, I think it was a few games in a row where we hadn't scored in the first inning. Which can be concerning, but it's like, you know, we did like 8 against Mississippi State. Then we did like 9 against Lafayette. So, like I said, we'll probably uncork it against McNeese and, you know, maybe some against Alabama. But I don't know. A little bit more consistency would be better than peaks and valleys. I don't know. I think in the postseason, though, if we're at home, I think we're good. Playing a super regional away, especially if it's somebody like Tennessee or, you know, it could be Auburn again, who knows. But then once we get to Omaha, I don't know. I feel like maybe that could play better in our favor, but I don't know. I think we just have to find a way to have some timely hits like we know we can. Anyway, but speaking of moving forward and keeping it positive, LSU had its football spring practice, not game, the same day as Daniel's wedding. I think they moved it up because of the Zollinger wedding. I couldn't get any confirmation, but that's just what the buzz was at Tiger Stadium. They were going to have it in the afternoon, but they knew we wanted to have the wedding in the evening. So Brian Kelly and company moved it up, and it really was just a practice. I mean, I didn't get there right when it started. It was pretty casual. Parking was wide open. I mean, there were people at the gates. They weren't checking anything. You're just making sure you didn't bring anything in from outside. But it was basically the home side stadium seating on the lower level. It was limited to that and some club level. There was a lot of people up there because it was shaded. But that was it. But they did have concessions open, the full shebang, you know, snacks, beers, whatever you wanted. And they just did different position groups doing drills. And then after that, they did like situational things where they were just trying to nail field goals for, I don't know, like 10 minutes, moving it all the way back up to 60. I mean, we definitely got some legs as far as having a leg that can hit 60 and get it between the uprights. Still kind of working on it, but good to know. And after that, they did kind of do a scrimmage, but it was, you know, it was kind of like a half-court scrimmage in basketball. You know, I think they started at like the 35 or 40, and they just went down the field. But they were, you know, changing players out in between. It's not like Nuss carried him the whole length of the field and scored. They were mixing guys as needed. And that was great to see. It was a practice, but at one point there was one where Nussmeier threw to a receiver. I forget who it was on the outside, and the referee made a call, and Nuss did not like it. Like, he was visibly arguing with the guy. I don't know if that was part of the practice. Like, he was practicing his, you know, his on-field debating skills for the fall. But I was like, wow, this guy's really into it for just a, not again, not a game, just practice. But he really thought that he had that first down in that scrimmage scenario. So you love to see that. You love to see that he's still on the field and he's not, you know, considering going elsewhere. We'll talk about that.
He's not saying, he's not holding our team hostage for $4 million. Right.
Exactly. And I got a story about that too. But then after that, yeah, I mean, they finish up the scrimmage. It kind of ended on, I believe it might've been Michael Van Buren who hit one of our like younger classmen in the end zone for a touchdown. Everyone celebrated. And then after that, they kind of took a knee all around Coach Kelly and talked. And then after that, they dispersed into different quadrants of the field on the stadium. You had running backs and wide receivers on one sideline, and on that same sideline, just further down, you have quarterbacks in the offensive line. And on the other side, of course, was defensive backs, linebackers, and then defensive line and special teams. Mm-hmm. All in separate autograph areas. So you could go down there. You had to line up. And then once they let people on the field, man, that clock started. They gave 30 minutes and they were sticking to it. Although, like, you could spend 30 minutes almost in one line. Sure. I did get a poster that they were giving out. I'm not ashamed to say I did not wait in any of the lines. Sorry, guys. I would have loved to have got a poster with all those autographs and gave it to Daniel and his new bride. But I think I'd have gone through one, maybe two, and that was it. They just did not give you much time. And then in the end zones, they had all the coaches in one end zone. You know, it was still a long line too, but you could have met and got an autograph from pretty much each one of them. I saw Frank Wilson started off. They looked like Kyle Williams. I saw Corey Raymond next to him, who definitely looked like the oldest guy of the bunch, but it's okay. He's the grandfather of DBU. Mm-hmm. Then on the other side, all by himself, was just BK, just taking photos. No autographs, no short stories, nothing. He was working it like a factory, just in and out. All right, come on. Hey, what's your name? He was nice. I mean, the guy definitely has a social side to him. He's very businesslike, though. All right, come on. Hey, how you doing? Hey, blah, 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 blah. Okay, good. He puts up the L with his fingers and then move him on to the next. I was like, all right, well, if I get to, who's going to want to really meet Brian Kelly? Everyone's going to meet the players, maybe the other coaches. But no, everyone wanted to – there's a lot of people that wanted to see Kelly. I thought I'd have a chance to ask him some questions. I went in with three, but I was like, I'm only going to get one. I was going to ask him about, this format with the scrimmage as opposed to a game. I was going to ask him about, hey, got a buddy getting married. Any advice? Because Brian's been married for, 30, 40 years himself. I'm sure he's got some tidbits. Or I was going to ask him about the bigger news of the weekend was what we kind of alluded to earlier. Tennessee's quarterback, Nico Iamaleva, is leaving. So his name's I'm a leaving now. He apparently this weekend decided, you know what? I'm worth $4 million and I want my school to pay that. Tennessee did not see it the same way. And supposedly he was heading out to UCLA because maybe they did feel like he was worth $4 million. But Josh Heupel said, we're good. We're moving on. And that was that. So my question to Brian Kelly was, hey, got a quick question for you, Coates. He said, kind of like, oh God, what's this going to be? But I said, how happy are you and your staff that you're not going to have to be negotiating with your starting quarterback this weekend? He goes, oh my God, that's crazy, isn't it? You know what that is? It's a correction. Mm-hmm. And when I heard that, the obvious take was, all right, I guess he's talking about a market correction.
Yeah.
We kind of mentioned it briefly when we saw each other. But, I mean, do you feel it's kind of the same way where he's saying, well, this is it's a new market with no real caps on it, but this is the market actually pushing back to an aggressor, like the market's correcting itself.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can definitely see that, especially with not like you have Nico, which is like the newest one, but I saw another example of Jaden Rashada, who is the guy who I believe was he at Florida? Yeah.
I don't know.
He transferred. He was a five-star quarterback and, wanted like all this money and came to, let's see where his story was.
Wait, was that the guy that he came because he said he was promised something, but then he didn't get what he said he was promised?
Yes.
And then he said he was going to sue Billy Napier, that guy?
Yes, Scott, you're right. This is the saga of Jaden Rashada. So he was originally committed to Miami. He had offers from LSU, Florida, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, all the big boys. He, originally had like a $9.5 million offer from Miami, or at least it was reported that. He said he didn't have it. Then he flipped to Florida, was set to enroll in Florida, but then wanted it out of his letter of intent. And basically it was later reported he was supposed to get like $14 million, but the deal had fallen through. So then he leaves Florida, goes to Arizona State. And then, yes, he's the one who announced he was going to sue Billy Napier for the failed deal. Well, then he passed for 200 yards, I think, in his college debut against and had, let's say, two touchdowns at Arizona State, and then transferred to Georgia, and now he has entered the transfer portal again and is leaving Georgia.
Mm.
So all that to say, market correction in that. I mean, this guy theoretically had $10 million in his hand, wanted more, and is now, on to school number three.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I imagine we'll see a little bit more of that, but perhaps, Nico maybe possibly overpricing himself. I mean, maybe somebody will give him the four because they're desperate and they think all that's missing is a quarterback with starting experience. Oh, Nico. Yeah, we got it. We got money. We don't care. We're UCLA. That's four. Now that's nothing for us, or USC or whoever. But yeah, they'll get that. But I don't know. I watched plenty of games where I thought, like, is this Tennessee's backup quarterback that has to play because somebody got hurt? Or I don't know. It's just he seemed good at points, but at other points it's like he seemed really, really wet behind the ears. So, like, I think they're even in their bowl game or the last game, I remember it's like there was only seconds left, and instead of chucking it towards the end zone, he was trying to run for a first down. I don't know if you remember that, but it was just like, what are you doing? what was that?
I kept seeing that highlight being played, like when the Nico kind of talk on Twitter was coming about. The other thing I saw that was interesting is like Brock Purdy, who's been to a Super Bowl and like was an MVP candidate. I mean, he hasn't even made $2 million in his career yet. He hasn't even made $4 million in his career yet. I think he's made like 2.5. And then this guy wants $4 million to be a middling quarterback in the SEC. So yes, I think BK is completely correct when he says this is a correction.
Right. Well, I think there was one beforehand because they went, oh, this is the first time this was, there's been a correction. Well, I don't know. I'm still willing to bet that there already was one earlier this year with a high school student. I remember someone was trying to, I don't know that he was trying to, but he was signed to play at LSU. That was his school. Daniel even talked to him in the airport, and he promised Daniel, he pinky sweared in the airport, yes, I'm coming to LSU, only to find out later that, some other alums or Dave Portnoy and whoever else came up with all this money to give this high schooler who hasn't played a down in college, supposedly, $10 million or something. And at some, maybe LSU had the chance to match, and BK was like, no, what? I'm not giving you $10 million. No. I mean, I trust Ricky Collins more than I trust giving you $10 million, Anyway, but I don't know. I feel like maybe that's the first correction. I guess we'll see if it plays out that way. Because either Bryce Underwood is the man.
Yes.
He's going to carry Michigan for the next 3 years. Or he's just a really good football player, but maybe wasn't worth $10 million.
Well, it shows you that Brian Kelly, his correction statement to you, and then the way that the Bryce Underwood situation was handled, it shows you that at least in this program's opinion, like, the market is way inflated, and like, we're not going to pay for untested, unproven players.
Right. Exactly.
Which I don't necessarily disagree.
Absolutely not. And I don't. And the only way I think I would be upset about Brian Kelly is if he was taking the Dabo Swinney approach, which is, well, we don't need anybody outside the portal. I'm not playing anybody. That's a totally different. I mean, at least we're not down there. I'm glad that our team did show some backbone and said, you know what? Maybe Bryce Underwood is that guy, and he could take us to the next level, but I don't know that. Meanwhile, I've got this guy, and Kelly said this in the post-practice press conference, that he said, I've Garrett Nussmeier, I met him right when I got here. Like, he reached out to me. He wanted to come see me, and he basically said, hey, coach, I'm here. I'm a Tiger. I'm going to be here until I'm done, till my playing time's done. So Brian Kelly knew then and there. I mean, things could have changed too, but it didn't. He stuck with it. And now his quarterback, who he hasn't had to fork over $4 million for, is a preseason Heisman favorite. And I don't know. We'll see what the rest of the team does, because, I mean, we had a Heisman winning quarterback, and we didn't really do much better than like a mid-tier bowl, but hopefully with the other additions, we can actually compete this year. I think LSU's, it's definitely possible to make a 12-team playoff, with a 2.5 year starter on the, he's had one full year under his belt. I know he played some other games, but this year with everything else in place, LSU could do some damage. I did want to say, got to see Barry and Brown. Guy's definitely quick, has great hands. He kind of reminds me of OBJ. He's not like the tall, lanky receivers that are quick that we're used to. He's definitely shorter, but the guy's a playmaker. And I did see Tre'Dez Green. He looked good. I mean, he looked like he got someone landed on his leg or something. He kind of hobbled off. That was kind of the end of his day, which he was fine. It just... I'm just trying to look for certain guys that I knew. Running backs look good. And I would say Brian Kelly, one of the things he said, which stuck out to me, was this is probably the best mix of both, depth that he already had, and a mix of players coming in from the transfer portal that can just add to what he already had. Like, he had a good base roux going, and then we had players coming in from the portal that could just add some seasoning on top to help round out, the talent, as opposed to trying to get guys to coming in from the portal to be your starters. Because he said that's what they've had to do the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And that's why we've had so many issues. And hopefully, according to him, this is like the – what did he call it? It was – he just said basically this is probably the best group of both, you know, returning players and portal additions that he felt he's had since he's been there. And then he said that Nico was like the first version of corrections. Because he mentioned in his press conference, too, the first version of corrections. So we'll see.
But overall, I think, I mean, from what you're telling me, spring game looked good. You know, it's good, positive out of, you know, some of the people we were interested in seeing, like you said, like a Barry and Brown, and we've talked about all spring. Obviously Nussmeier, love the energy. And I don't know about you. I mean, I didn't even get a chance to see the spring practice, but I'm already excited. I'm already ready for football season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It should be a good one this fall. We've got a lot of new, returning players that we want to see, like Jacoby and Guillory, right? Like, he's coming back. He was hurt last year. Maybe this is the season that we would have wanted from Mason Smith, right? He got hurt in his freshman season, came back the next year and just didn't have anything really, didn't really show up on the map at all. He wasn't even a blip on the radar, unfortunately. Maybe this could be different, along with the other guys that we have brought in, for instance, a Jack Pyburn, whose neck, I think, was as big as my thigh. I was like 20 feet away. I'm like, oh my God, that guy's neck's huge. He definitely, you could definitely look at him and go, yeah, he plays football. Football somewhere. And you know, some other additions. I forget all the names now, because like when you're on that field and you've just seen them all, like each side of the field, each quadrant of the field had like 20 guys just all lined up, one right after the other. So mm-hmm. You definitely could have, got your feel with your Sharpie that day, if you could squeeze it all in 30 minutes, but I don't know how you could. But moving on, did want to mention one other thing. Unfortunately, there was some bad news that came out of, LSU Tiger world, where that was the passing of Kyron Lacy. You had sent something to me about it, Tommy, and I was like, oh man, that's horrible.
Yeah.
But then I didn't know anything about it. And then later I read about what happened. I'm like, oh God, that's really bad.
Yeah.
Cause you know, it all stemmed from a car crash that he was in, where someone in the other car, a grandfather, a Marine vet, had passed, and you know, he was out on bail for that. And I guess there was going to be a trial, and I don't know, it all kind of just got to him, and he just couldn't go on. He ended it, which is sad. But I don't know. I guess, prayers out to him, his family, his friends, LSU players that knew him well and probably didn't see that coming. But
it's really a terrible situation. And just, especially – I mean, last year we're watching him, make highlights. So, upsetting to hear, like you said, praying for his family and for everybody affected. But, I don't know. It's depressing.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, I couldn't imagine. I mean, it sucks that that's what was the end result, but at least we know that he did care. He took that seriously. I mean, it affected him to the point where he just didn't want to deal with it anymore, which people can have different opinions about that, but it obviously, like, he was aware of the seriousness of this. And We talked about this weeks ago, right? Where there were just, it's happened with Georgia for a few years in a row. LSU's had it. I was actually going to mention, I think Colin Hurley, like, he recently rejoined the team. So, yeah. I mean, I was going to finish on a positive note, because he was in a bad accident and he's had a full recovery, and he is now going to rejoin the team But yeah, there's just, if you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing and something bad happens, there's just no way to take it back. You can try and correct it, but just avoid it to begin with. That's all we can say. But anyway, you know what? There's one thing I did forget to mention with as far as baseball. we'd played Nichols earlier this week. We won, but we were down. Man, you're starting to think, are we going to lose a midweek game now? Because they were down 3-0 until I think it was the 7th or 8th inning, and then we scored 5 runs in 1 inning to come back and win it. And Will Schmidt actually looked good that game.
Yeah, 8 Ks.
And then like, oh my God, are we going to waste this? But no, we got 5 runs. So that's why it's like when you're down to Auburn, and she's like, all right, we just know these guys are going to explode at some point. But they never really did. And interestingly enough, speaking of guys that, you know, had to step away, I still don't know what's going on with Gavin Guidry. I think at this point, it's just comical because I don't even want any more updates because Jay Johnson said, well, we're hoping to have him by this weekend for Auburn. If not, might be a red shirt. Wait a second. How can he almost be ready this weekend, but then he could also
red shirt
for the rest of the year? Something weird's going on there. Maybe it's just some injury like Miles Brennan where they – don't know exactly what it is, or it's more than one, or maybe they just, you know, they're just protecting him because there's something else going on. We don't know.
Yeah.
But I just think it's odd.
It's right? Definitely odd. I mean, a guy who threw the final out of the national championship game has not pitched since last year. Yeah. I'm interested to see if the redshirt thing comes out, if he ends up redshirting. Right. Because like you said, that's a drastic, you know, this or that.
Right. And it's like, well, how it's just been kind of up in the air for, well, since the start of the season. So, you know, we're talking months and we might have him back. We don't know. We're just trying to see. Nope. We're going to redshirt him. Guy can't play this year. Well, what? Honestly, with the advancements of science, I think we're trying to send, you know, we're sending people to the moon again. Like, how do we not know what's going on with this young man? Doesn't matter. We're going to play on without it, but it would be nice to have him because even though LSU didn't win a game this weekend, I mean, I was able to, I mean, can at least tell my grandkids I saw Zach Cowan pitch. He pitched great. LSU to hold Auburn to 3 runs on Sunday. That was pretty good. You should be able to win that game. Just got to put up some runs yourself.
Yeah.
But they didn't. So I don't know. I think moving forward, even if we didn't have Guidry, as long as we have guys that like we could get by with 2 pitchers in a game, I think that would serve us well in the SEC tournament and in Omaha, but gotta have some runs. Gotta mix that up. Anyway, I think we kind of covered it all. Did you have any other final thoughts?
Final thoughts? Just get back on track, man. You know, it's gotta finish it out, or gotta get back on track because that was a disappointing weekend.
Absolutely. And for just no real, like you couldn't point to it like, oh man, that one error in the 8th inning, that was it. That was the difference maker. Or, you know, Auburn walked it off with a home run. It was just kind of a dud. There was nothing really you could point to other than we just couldn't hit for 3 straight days. We just could not hit except for little bitty moments here and there. But we shall see. Other than that, I just wanted to say congrats to Daniel and to Shay. Hope they have a great honeymoon and they're safe. They're on the other side of the world, I believe. And thank you to both their families for putting on a great ceremony and reception. Got to meet some people I'd only heard about before. So it was great to meet that whole group. And looking forward to the next one. I don't know if that's you or me, Tommy, but it's going to be a tough one to match. That was a very nice ceremony.
It really was. Definitely congratulations to them. And that was a big highlight of the weekend that kind of overshadowed the losses on the diamond.
I loved everything that the Homeless House did. They're not paying me to say this. I mean, they definitely could, of course. Please reach out to Tommy Daniels out of town. But just the whole setup. I mean, you could have the reception there in front of the house in the grass with the Acadian Oaks. They had that big bell they kept banging. It was perfect weather. You can't purchase that ahead of time. But
yeah, true.
It was beautiful. Water, like fountains, waterfalls, whatever. Then you had the peacocks wandering about making noises. All that was great. No notes. I would have something there myself. But other than that, I think that'll pretty much do it for us here on Talking Tigs. Tune in next week. We will have some more recap for you on LSU baseball. Basketball is done, but there could be some other lineup news, which we will, of course, cover even in Daniel's absence until he is able to rejoin us. So until then, stay safe, stay tuned, and we will talk to you next time right here on Talking Tigs.